Sharp changes, dear friends, have in recent weeks taken place on the international scene. But the significance of them is not quite clear. Pierre Mendès France was forced to resign as Premier of France. And Georgi Malenkov was forced to resign as the successor of Mendès France, who is head of the 20th cabinet since the World War, has not yet been chosen. Three attempts by as many French political leaders to form a cabinet have so far failed. Without a government. The successor of Malenkov was announced his resignation. On the day following, Marshal Georgi Zhukov was chosen to the important post of Minister of Defense. By these changes, the world has been left bewildered and speculating. Mendès France was a very popular, successful premier. He had liquidated, you will recall, the very unpopular Indochina War, which for 7 years had drained the resources and the manpower of France. He had brought about some very important reforms in domestic economy. He had launched important efforts to raise the standard of living of the people of France. There have been very considerable nationalist movements and uprisings in North Africa, in Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco. Mendès France projected certain basic reforms and certain political concessions and measures of self-government, which had within them the potentialities of pacifying these countries. He had also maneuvered through, you will recall, through the assembly, the pact for the rearmament of Western Germany, and had obtained for France some important concessions in the Saar. On his recent visit to our country, Mendès France received a triumphal reception. Nevertheless, a few weeks ago, amidst great turbulence and violent acrimony, he was forced out of the position by a decisive vote in the French Assembly. Malenkov had been in office as Premier of the Soviet Union for nearly 23 months, practically ever since the death of Stalin. He had been advertised as a strong man, And from all reports, he was popular among the masses of Russia. He had successfully brought about the liquidation of Lavrenty Beria, who was his possible rival. Nevertheless, here a few days ago, at a meeting of the Supreme Council of the Union of Soviet Republics in the Kremlin, the chairman of the council read a communication from Melnikov in the presence of Melnikov, in which the latter requested to be relieved of his post, and he gave it his reasons, his inexperience in state work, although for nearly a quarter of a century he was one of the right-hand men of Stalin. And he also gave as his reason his guilt and responsibility for the unsatisfactory state of affairs which had arisen in agriculture, although the major responsibility for it really rests with the man who brought about Melnikov's downfall, Nikita Khrushchev. Now, there have been many explanations given for these startling events. Much speculation about the future. It is very difficult for an outsider to follow the intricacies of party politics in another country, or the devious maneuvers of strong personalities in the game of party domination, personal prestige, and power politics. Anyone who claims to be an expert on Russian affairs has delusions of clairvoyance. Churchill said recently, upon the announcement of these events, that the future is veiled in obscurity. That is an English understatement. We can but guess what is going on behind the Iron Curtain and the inner circles of the people in control of Russia and who rule Russia with an iron hand. Only guessing. With the death of Stalin, was the hard taskmaster of Russia, under whom the life of the people had been rugged indeed and austere. With his death, it was hoped by many in Russia that a new era would be ushered in, that the people would be allowed to breathe a little more freely. That more attention would now be given to their personal needs and their hopes for a better and easier life. Better homes to live in, better food, better clothing, some of the things which they knew that many people in the so-called corrupt capitalist countries were enjoying. A lessening of taxes, perhaps, intended to enlarge the state war machine. In place of the ever-mounting demands of heavy industry, which is largely directed towards armament and the requirements of war, that more of the national income would now be devoted to consumers' goods, to the things which would make the life of the average Russian a little easier, a little more comfortable. After all, they've been living under this regime of proletarian dictatorship nearly 35 years, more than a generation. Revolutionary emergencies, some of them believe, should by now be over. The sacrifices which were demanded of them in terms of severe austerities in the early days of the revolution ought now to be relaxed. People ought to begin to have an opportunity to live. And of course, such a condition could only come about with a lessening of the tensions with the Western world. There's less talk of the communist conquest of the world. Let's talk of the need for increased preparations for war with the Western world. In other words, these things can only come about with a policy of conciliation and coexistence with the Western world. Now, Malenkov seems to have been the spokesman and the advocate of these new, what should I say, desires or wishes, or trends among the Russian people. Tried to put both of these ideas into practice, more consumers' good for the people, and a more conciliatory foreign policy. You may recall that time and again there emanated from Moscow, from the circles of important communist leaders, since Malenkov came into power, expressions of goodwill towards the West, invitations to cooperation, suggestions that the Stalin era was over, that a new era had dawned. Well, unfortunately, Malenkov failed in both his objectives. The Russian economy, as you know, is based largely on agriculture. And agriculture last year suffered disastrously from drought in Russia, and the harvest, to a large extent, were ruined. And there followed a nationwide food shortage. And other consumers' goods and housing did not materialize in sufficient size to be impressive. So there was failure on that score. Then there was failure on the other score of conciliation. You may recall that the first sign of relaxed Russian control, as expressed in East Germany, resulted in extensive riots which hurt the prestige of Malenkov a great deal. That is the unfortunate part about dictatorship. Totalitarian.